Well, good morning. It's good to see you guys. For almost all of my 30s, from the late 90s until about 2006, this was my home church. My wife, Rhonda, and I and our family were here for 10 years. And this church has done so much in terms of helping me grow into being a young leader and also learning how to move within the gifts and be a teacher. And so serving here at this church has really been was a large part of my training and preparing for the next phase of ministry. And so for that, I'm really grateful and always glad to be here. In 2006, when my family and I moved to Kansas City, we were responding to just the invitation of God on our life to serve Him occupationally. It's something that He had spoken to me about when I was born again in 1990. But how many of you know the Lord may call someone, take them through a season of consecration, and then eventually there's a commission? And you see that pattern biblically, and that's the way it was for us, is there was a call early, a long season of consecration, and then a commission. And we responded to the Lord in 2006, and we joined the International House of Prayer in Kansas City. And the International House of Prayer in Kansas City has been having a prayer meeting 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, since 1999. The meeting started in September of 1999 and continues to this day. But what's really interesting is that IHOP KC is only a small part of what God's doing globally in the area of prayer. For example, 20 years ago, there were only about 10 or 15 24/7 prayer ministries in the earth. Places like Korea and South America were holding prayer meetings that went around the clock, typically done in shifts. 20 years ago, there were about 10 24/7 prayer ministries in the earth. Today, there's over 10,000. There has been a massive surge in the place of prayer globally in the last 20 years, most of it in the last 10 years. And what's really fascinating about it is that there's no central command, there's no denomination, there's no school or anything that they came from. It's an organic move of God that He's doing in the hearts of people, and He's actually drawing people into the place of prayer, and they're encountering the Lord, operating in a priesthood that is universal to the believer, and starting corporate prayer meetings on a level that we haven't seen before. Now, I run into it all the time. Because of where I'm at and who I'm with and the ministry that we do, we meet all kinds of international ministries, and I've visited some of them and served and taught in a number of them. And it's amazing to see what God's doing in every corner of the globe. Right now, there's a Sunday morning prayer meeting at 6, excuse me, not Sunday, a 6 a.m. prayer meeting in Port-au-Prince, Haiti, that has 2,000 people in attendance every morning at 6 a.m. And they have been for 20 years. And almost nobody in the world realizes that it's happening. Well, you know, one of the most infrequently attended meetings at church is the prayer meeting. How in the world do you get 2,000 people to show up every morning at 6 a.m. for 20 years? Well, it's a move of God. I was in Israel. Actually, I was in the town of Nazareth that is predominantly Muslim. And we were meeting some Christian friends there, and it looked like a scene from a spy movie. We called them. We had a contact number. This person says, hey, sit underneath the street light for 2 minutes and a 14-year-old boy is going to come up to your car, follow him down the alley. It was one of those kind of things, Mike. It was crazy. And we followed him and then met someone else, and it was through back alleys up and down stairs. And then we come to this apartment that's just hidden away in this little slum, and we knock on the door and we go inside, and there's a prayer meeting. And all the young Muslims who are there, they come in traditional Muslim clothes, but once they get inside this door, they take them off. They're believers. They're meeting in secret to pray. And we were able to join them in that prayer meeting. And that same kind of meeting is happening in hundreds and thousands of places across the earth. In College Station, Texas, I've got some friends that lead a house of prayer down there. The house of prayer is completely led by and maintained by college students. And for hours a day, college students stop by on their way to the campus, enter into a prayer meeting for about 2 hours, lead, pray for their city, pray for their students, and it's a constant rotation of college students all day leading the prayer room. Now, guys, when college students take time to pray, I know that God's doing something. And so it's a great time to be in ministry. It's a great time to be alive. What God's doing on the earth right now in prayer is unprecedented. We've never seen anything like it. And just to give you an example, in the state of Florida alone, there are over 50 houses of prayer. Now, house of prayer is where they have committed to the issue of prayer. They come together, hold corporate prayer meetings, and if the house of prayer is doing more than 20 hours a week, we call it a house of prayer. There's over 50 houses of prayer in the state of Florida. And so it's encouraging and exciting to see what God's doing. One thing that we've found out about the place of prayer, and I just want to encourage you with this, is that most people, let's be honest, most people don't pray because they find it boring. And they pray everything they know to pray, and then when that 5 minutes is done, they say, what do we do now? And what we found out is that, one, prayer shouldn't be boring. Number two, it can be enjoyable. And when prayer becomes enjoyable, we'll engage with it, and we engage with it long enough to find out that we can actually encounter God, that we can actually hear His voice, that He can actually speak to us, and we start to enter into that thing for which we were designed to do. See, prayer is part of our priesthood. All of us have been made priest before the Lord. For example, you guys remember when Jesus is crucified, what happened in the temple when Jesus is crucified? The veil was torn top to bottom. Why? Now we would say, so we all have access to God. Sure. Why do we need that access? Why were we given that access? But more specifically, in the temple behind the veil, what happened behind that veil? The priest went in and ministered unto the Lord. And one of the things that happened through Christ's atonement, what is happening is that priesthood that was strictly limited to the Levites, that priesthood was being opened up to all of humanity, and yes, we had access to come before the Lord and to minister unto Him as priest. The two primary ways that we minister unto the Lord as priest is through worship and through prayer. It's no more possible to be a Christian. Excuse me, I said that wrong. It's impossible to be a Christian apart from prayer. If we're a Christian that doesn't pray, we've missed the very reason that we were created. Now, when we understand that that prayer is ministering unto the Lord and it's not a tool just to solve problems, see, that's what has happened to the place of prayer is we've often been taught and think that it's a means to get something changed or fixed. And in some cases, it's the last resort. Wow, there's nothing left to do now but pray. When we actually realize that prayer is an end in itself, that there is a value and a richness and a strength in just coming before the Lord and ministering to Him, whether my city changes or not, whether the circumstances change or not, there's a value in coming before the Lord and entering into worship. And roughly, you could define it this way, worship is agreeing with who God is, and intercession is agreeing with what He wants to do. Jesus gives us this model when they asked Him, Jesus, how do we pray? And His model starts out, Father, hallowed be Your name. He's starting to agree with who He is. And then he moves into thy kingdom come, your will be done on the earth as it is in heaven. The twofold aspect of prayer and ministry before the Lord is agreeing with who he is and agreeing with what he wants to do. And it's the privilege and responsibility of every believer. But here's what's even more exciting about it. The joy, the satisfaction, and the purpose that we often look for and we reach for in dozens of different ways, many of those questions and those longings will be found in the place of our priesthood when we minister unto the Lord. We were made for it. We were designed by God to do it. He invited us into that reality, and through that priesthood, we get to play a part in his global redemption plan. We actually get to join him in his process of bringing the earth unto the restoration and all things restored with it. We get to join him in it. And so I would just want to leave you with a couple of ideas. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 17, 18, 19 is the most frequently prayed prayers in Kansas City. Ephesians 1, 17, 18, and 19, the Apostle Paul says, I pray this, that you would have a spirit of revelation, of wisdom and of knowledge, and the knowledge of him, that your eyes would be enlightened, that you would increase in your understanding, and you would grow in your knowledge of God. Paul prayed this for the Ephesians. And this is what we do. This is one of the things that makes prayer enjoyable, and it's one of the ways that we sustain corporate prayer meetings is we open the Word of God. We see, we take prayers that the Holy Spirit has already ordained and written down and put within the canon of Scripture, and we take that thing that Paul prayed for the Ephesians, and we pray for Kansas City or Wichita. I cannot tell you how many times Wichita in this church has been mentioned before the throne of God. It's been a lot. And so I've prayed for this church many times that your eyes would be enlightened, that you would grow in your knowledge of God, that you would increase in your revelation and understanding and your knowledge of the man, Christ Jesus. Is that a good prayer? Absolutely. And you're praying the Word. That's a very good, healthy place to pray. The other one is, I believe it's 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. I could be wrong. It might be 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. But they prayed, Paul prayed this, that the word of God would run swiftly in that region. And we pray it often for countries and cities and Kansas City. I've prayed it for Wichita many times, that the word of God would run swiftly in that city, that it would have its way, that it would run its course, that it would run swiftly through households, that it would run swiftly through individuals, that the Word of God would run swiftly through Wichita. So there's just two ways, two ideas, two places right there. You can take that verse, open it up. Benjamin, you can pray that on your commute. You can pray those two things right there that you can pray the Word. And so I want to encourage you to think about your life before the Lord as a priest and think about this fact that God's called you into this ministry of standing before him. Do you guys remember Anna, who was in the temple at the birth when Jesus was born in that same time period? It says that she served the Lord night and day, all of her days. She was in her 80s. All of her days, she had served the Lord night and day with prayer and fasting. She had served the Lord with prayer and fasting. Guys, this is one of the primary ways that we get to come alongside and join God in what he's doing is in this priestly role of prayer. It's not a tool given to fix a problem. It's not just communication. It's not just talk. We actually get to step into this place of priestly ministry before an enthroned God. And we get to talk to him about his will. And when we open our mouth and agree with him, it has power in the earth. Amen? Amen. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, Father, I ask that the spirit of wisdom and revelation,
yes,
would be at Faith Community Church. Father, I'm asking the same thing that Paul asked in Ephesians 1. I'm asking that Faith Community would grow in their revelation and their knowledge of Him. Father, open our eyes. Increase our understanding. Would you open our eyes to see the truth about Jesus? Would you open our eyes to see the truth about your word? Would you open our eyes to see the truth about our role that we have before you and the privilege and responsibility of priest before you? God, I'm asking that you would open our eyes, that we would see the man, Christ Jesus, that we would know him as he is known, that we would see him in all of his beauty and all of his excellence and the splendor and the majesty of his holiness. Father, that we would see him and his brilliant leadership over our life. Holy Spirit, open our eyes and increase our understanding and revelation of the man Christ Jesus. Father, I'm asking that you would open the eyes of Faith Community Church in such a way that they would enthrone Jesus in every area of life, that there would be no place where Jesus is not Lord and King. I'm asking that you would open their eyes to his majesty and his leadership, and that every part of our life would be submitted to him, given to him, that every area of our heart would be surrendered and would bow to him and his lordship and his leadership in our life. Oh God, I'm asking that you would open our eyes to the one whom we will behold forever. I'm asking that you would open our eyes and that we would see this brilliant man, his love for his Father, his love for us, and his heart set on obeying. Father, I'm asking that you would open our eyes and prepare us for the day that this Jewish man will rule the earth. I'm asking that you would prepare us for the day that he will be seated and enthroned in Jerusalem and that all the nations will bow before him.
Thank you.
Jesus, increase our understanding of you. Help us honor you. Help us serve you. We're asking for grace, God. We look forward to the day, Jesus, that you will be loved and obeyed by everyone on the planet. We look forward to the day that you will be seated, and that all the nations will come before you. We look forward to the day that you will receive the fullness of your suffering, that everything that you did will come back to you, all of your labor, all of your obedience. And we look forward to the day that everyone will love, cherish, and obey you. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
All the saints said,
Amen.
Praise God. Praise God, brother.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Wow. Put your hands together, will you? And let... Praise the Lord.